Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live from a dinner with Terry Bradshaw and Greg Hardy, it's the Fourth and Inches Show with Jana and the Shirtlin.
Jana, be a fly on the wall there.
Yes. Jana, your beloved Cowboys started off 2-0, and they were now in the cellar in the NFC East. My Giants started off 0-2, and now they're in first place. It's been that kind of a season so far, but we still have six undefeated teams going into this week, which is kind of unusual going into week six, but so far a pretty topsy-turvy season, at least in the NFC East.
Unfortunately, yes. I think the best thing for the Cowboys this week is that it's a bye, so they can't lose, because they're really good at that lately.
So speaking of them, what's going on with them? They're supposedly going to get a new starting running back and a new quarterback when they come out of the bye.
Well, today is Brandon Whedon's birthday, and so for his birthday, he got demoted, which, I mean, that's really the way to do it. I think it's interesting that he's upset about it, mostly because he seems so nonchalant about actually getting the starting job. So apparently it means more to him than he likes to show. But Matt Castle is going to have the bye week to learn to continue learning the offense and try to get some kind of rhythm. If you're going to make the change, you do it now. It makes the most sense. And now they're talking about starting Christian Michael over Joseph Randall, which I'm not entirely sold on. But, I mean, we got to do something, because what the Cowboys are doing on the field right now is not working. The other fun fact is that Matt Castle's wife is due to give birth pretty much any day now. So we're looking at the possibility that Matt Castle could be named the starter but still not actually start the game because he's having a child. So it's never easy in Dallas.
No, it just seems like that's a never-ending soap opera there. So speaking of wild finishes and all, what did you think of the Monday night game with Pittsburgh and San Diego?
I liked that Pittsburgh, you know, didn't make the safe play and go for the field goal. They just went for it on the goal line. And obviously it worked out. If it didn't, we're having a different conversation, I'm sure. But at the same time, also the 18 seconds that magically disappeared and no one really noticed till later is a little concerning. But I thought it was a fun way to end the game. But I don't know. I mean, nice to take those risks early in the season when you can justify losing by not having your starting quarterback. I don't know if they would necessarily be doing that down the stretch with a playoff position on the line, though.
Well, I think they had to win that game from their perspective after blowing the game against the Ravens the week before. So yeah, I guess they call it even now, but we'll see how they do this week. Injury-wise, not a ton of injuries, but of course the one everybody's talking about is in Kansas City, with Jamaal Charles is out for the season with a torn ACL for the second time in 5 years. I can't remember if it was the same leg the first time or not, but anyway, I wonder if this might actually be the end of his run in Kansas City. You figure when he comes back next year, you know, there's no guarantees that he'll be 100%. He's getting up there in years for a running back, and they've got a couple young studs waiting behind him there in Kansas City. What do you think? Is that the last we see of Jamaal Charles in Kansas City, or are they going to try to, assuming he comes back healthy, are they going to give him another shot next year?
I think if I were them, I'd probably give him another shot unless, somehow we get wowed by these guys down the stretch. I mean, this is basically, kind of an audition going down the rest of the season. But I always like having the veteran running back, the veteran presence there. Even if he's not your every down back, having him in the locker room, I think, is a benefit. So, I don't know. I'd bring him back.
Okay. So, any other injuries strike you this week, or who are some of the people you're looking at on the waiver wire? Those are two separate questions, but you can answer whatever order you want.
Well, obviously, we talked about Jamaal Charles. It looks like right now, in Kansas City, you've got two names that you're looking at. Nile Davis, who we've obviously all used before as handcuffs for Jamaal Charles because he's a little injury prone. He's right now higher on the depth chart, but Sharkhandrick West is an interesting name. I think we're going to see a lot out of him even as early as this week. So if you can stash him, if you're looking for a cheap alternative in a cash game this week, he's not a bad name to throw out there, especially with the matchup they have. Julio Jones is going to play with a hamstring injury, but he's going to be, in essence, on a pitch count for, you know, the MLB playoffs. So, in essence, he's not going to play every snap. It's going to be pick and choose the battle compared to how he's feeling that day. So just tread lightly there. Blake Bortles has been having shoulder problems. He is going to play this week. Tyrod Taylor, it all really depends on who you ask. He has a sprained MCL. One minute, 1 hour, he is playing. The next, he isn't. Rex Ryan is kind of going back and forth on it. So I would keep an eye on that. That's probably going to go right down to game time.
It's easy for the coach to say the guy's going to play with a sprained MCL, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
I've never had that particular injury before, but it doesn't sound like fun. And at the very least, I would think it would limit your mobility.
Well, and it's also, I mean, for somebody we call T-Mobile, that's going to severely compromise what he's trying to do. And it's also the same thing Ben Roethlisberger's missing a couple of weeks for. Granted, it doesn't look like Taylor's is as severe, but just for comparison's sake, it's, you know, not a case of the sniffles. It is going to definitely impact his play. Most of the Bills' offense is on the injury report this week. LeSean McCoy was limited to practice today. A few days ago, he was saying he may miss a couple of weeks with this hamstring injury. Who knows? Carlos Williams didn't practice today. He's still going through the concussion protocol, so that's going to have to wait and see as the week goes on. And tight end Charles Clay, he's got a calf injury. He was limited. Again, keep an eye on that. From the production we saw out of him last week, he may be a pass in a lot of your leagues as a start this week. And Sammy Watkins is hoping to play with his calf injury. He at least is headed more on the right path than most of these guys, so hopefully we see him back in the lineup this week. Ben Roethlisberger, who was supposed to be out another 2, 3, 4 weeks, depending who you ask, started doing 7-on-7 drills at practice today. Unless he dramatically ups his practice tomorrow, he's not going to start this week, but he may very well be under center next week if he keeps up at this pace. So just keep an eye on that. Arian Foster was limited in practice today. He's going to play, though, this week. His workload's increased the last 2 weeks. I expect it to do the same again this week. Alfred Blue, on the other hand, who is turf toe, did not practice. I think that'll factor into, again, Foster's carries increasing. Jonathan Grimes, with his hamstring injury, also was limited. He missed the last 2 games. He might be back, so it looks like he has a better chance of playing than Blue right now. Ravens wide receiver Steve Smith has multiple microfractures in his back, but he came back to practice today. He might play this week. He is crazy enough. I think it's more likely than not he will play. 49ers running backs Carlos Hyde and Reggie Bush both missed practice. No word on Carlos Hyde's injury yet, but Bush has that calf injury.
Probably Hyde in his injury.
It'll be interesting. See what happens there. Wide receiver out in New Orleans, Marquise Colson, is doubtful with a shoulder injury. It does look like the Steelers are going to get Martavis Bryant back, though, from his knee injury and suspension. He should be good to go this week. Bengals wide receiver Marvin Jones was limited with a foot injury. He's likely going to play. Let's see what else we got. Detroit tight end Eric Ebron. He was limited at practice. Keep an eye on him this week. It looks like he's trying to return. It looks like he was going to miss more time, but if he can get back in there, that would be a huge help for that offense, which is a mess. Joique Bell, it looks like he's going to return this week from missing the last 2 games. He's been working on an ankle injury. Amir Abdullah did fumble twice last week, so it'll be interesting to see how they split up the carries if he does, in fact, return. It looks like Jericho Cotchery is going to be back this week for the Panthers, who are really going to need him against the Seahawks. Minnesota wide receiver Mike Wallace didn't practice. He's coming off a bye week and still not practicing. That kind of raises a red flag for me, so I would stay away from him this week. Alshon Jeffrey still, quote-unquote, limited at practice with a hamstring injury. We haven't seen him in weeks. His status is still really uncertain. That's going to come down to game time, as it seems to every week. Pretty much every running back in Baltimore did not practice today. Justin Forsett with an ankle injury, Lorenzo Talaferro with a foot injury. That run game looks like it might have some problems this week. Let's see who actually does play. Victor Cruz still not clear to play with his calf injury. Someday he will come back. It's not going to be this week, though. the Texans are going to get Cecil Shorts back, it looks like. Yeah, hopefully this year. They could certainly use him with Odell Beckham Jr. having the hamstring injury. He's making progress. He should play. Cecil Shorts looks like he's going to be back from his shoulder injury this week for the Texans. It looks like Nate Washington and his hamstring injury is a little more questionable, but they've got another option after DeAndre Hopkins now. Redskins running back Matt Jones has a sprained toe. He's going to play. He's been limited practice, but he is going to play. That is going to hamper his movement a little bit, so keep a watchful eye on that. Andrew Luck did practice a little bit today. He's hoping to play and is, quote, heading in the right direction. I think we've been told that the last 2 weeks, so, again, keep an eye on that. DeSean Jackson looks like he's going to return either this week or next week from his hamstring injury. It depends how the next 2 days of practice go. And with the Giants' woes, they did work out Terrell Pryor today at wide receiver, which is interesting.
Walker a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
Him.
Yeah, that's kind of worrisome. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a Wes Welker homer. But also, we did find out this week that the Giants tight end Daniel Fells is done for the year and may actually lose his foot from a MRSA infection. He's been suffering issues from a staph infection and undergone several surgeries. So hopefully he pulls through that without any more complications. But I think that is all of our injuries for the week.
Now, without the blue, it's probably not a good sign if the color of your toe matches your last name.
Yeah, I think that's probably number one on the trainer's chart of things they check. What color is your toe? It's your color? Uh-oh.
Exactly. At least his name isn't green. But so why don't we hop right into the games this week? We've got four teams on bye, your beloved Cowboys, the Raiders, the Rams, and the Buccaneers. First up, we've got the Thursday night game. We've got Atlanta at New Orleans. Atlanta is still undefeated, looking less and less impressive each week. New Orleans, didn't really show up very well against the Eagles last week after, pummeling the Cowboys the week before. Really not sure what to expect of this game. I think Atlanta will get through just barely unscathed, but I think it's going to come down to a field goal, so I'll say Atlanta 27, New Orleans 24.
I think that Atlanta's going to take advantage of this New Orleans secondary a little more than you do. I have them 34-21 over New Orleans. I just, quite frankly, they have to bounce back a little bit from last week, but New Orleans is just still kind of a mess. Their secondary is like Swiss cheese. This defense doesn't seem to want to slow anybody down. I think that the Atlanta offense is just going to have a big day, pretty much every facet of it. And Drew Brees still doesn't look totally right for me. They're missing Jimmy Graham, something terrible. That offensive line is not giving them enough time to do anything. I don't like what I'm seeing from New Orleans. No, they really should just – there's got to be like an undo button we can push because, quite frankly, both teams were better the way they were before.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I don't see that happening, unfortunately. So speaking of an undo button, Denver is kind of like Atlanta, still undefeated, but not really impressing people along the way. Cleveland, they're at home. Josh McCown seems firmly entrenched there now. Johnny Manziel will have to wait at least probably for another season unless, McCown gets injured, more than he is already. I just have a feeling this is the week the wheels come off for Denver. Their defense has kept them in games, but offense really hasn't clicked. Cleveland's defense hasn't been very good so far this year, but I think they'll get it together this week. So I'll say Cleveland takes this by a field goal at home. I'll say Cleveland 27, Denver 24.
So already we're at game two, and we are breaking the streak of picking the same games after last week. I'm going to disagree with a lot of that. I definitely think Denver's going to come out on top here. Granted, Cleveland looked good last week, but it was a real favorable matchup. Against this Denver defense, I think they're going to really stifle Cleveland. I mean, this is still Josh McCown we're talking about. No offense to him, but he's not an elite caliber quarterback, and this is an elite caliber defense. even with a couple of injuries, I think they're still going to have what it takes to slow down Cleveland. I think Denver is going to take advantage of some weaknesses in this defense, and Peyton Manning is going to get it together a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, Peyton Manning of 10 years ago, but I think they have enough to do it. Win by 10, 31-21. I take Denver in this one.
Okay. Well, it's good that we've got that first disagreement out of the way. First one's always the toughest.
Yeah.
I was worried
there for a little while.
Don't you worry. I think we're going to probably disagree on this next game, too. So Detroit so far winless. Like you said before, they really look like a mess so far, but they're hosting a team which is looked like a mess early in the season, but actually won a couple games in a row, that being Chicago. Chicago on the road at Detroit. I think Detroit, this is pretty much it for them. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs even if they win this week, but you know, this is kind of one of those games which says, are they going to be a 6-10 team or are they going to be a 2-14 team? I'm betting on the latter. I think Detroit gets it together this week against the Chicago team that seems like they're just as injured and messed up as Detroit is. I'll go with Detroit to win this by 6. I'll take Detroit with 30 over Chicago with 24.
Ooh, I actually agree. I don't agree with the score. I am taking Detroit 23-21 in this one. The Detroit defense is pretty terrible, especially when it comes to wide receivers. They've given up 43 catches, over 600 yards, and 4 touchdowns just in the last 3 games to wide receivers. Unfortunately, Chicago's probably the last team that can take advantage of this because they have almost no healthy wide receivers. If Alshon Jeffrey can even get himself on the field, he might be able to score a touchdown this week. I just don't know if it's going to happen. I think Stafford's going to look better. Obviously, he has to. It's kind of hard to look much worse than he did last week getting pulled from the game. But this is a defense he can and bounce back a little bit against, even with a run game that's a little more questionable than it was a few weeks ago. I think Matt Forte is really going to be the guy for Chicago this week. He's going to be what keeps them in it. Just unfortunately, if they had wide receivers, this would probably be a better outcome for them, but they just don't right now.
They should just use him on every play, either throw it to him or run it. Maybe Detroit would sense the pattern after a quarter or two and pick up on it. But it'd be fun to see if he could actually do that. Or I wonder if that's ever been done at any level. And if so, whether the guy's teammates hated
him after the game. That would make me more interested in watching this game because as it is, I sort of don't want to at all.
All right. Well, we can call the Bears and see if they'd be willing to do that for us. So, in case that doesn't work out, though, we've got another barn burner in the game between two teams.
I'm excited for this one.
Are not
so going to
be in the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's a little more interesting maybe because of the quarterbacks, you know, in both situations. But anyway, talking about the Houston at Jacksonville game, this is a tough one to call. You know, Blake Bortles looks better, but banged up. Houston hasn't looked too good so far. You know, DeAndre Hopkins has emerged this year. Brian Hoyer seems to be holding down the fort at quarterback now. I still think that just Jacksonville has a little bit better balance on offense right now. I'm not sold on Arian Foster being totally healthy yet. I think Jacksonville wins this by a field goal at home. I'll say Jacksonville 24, Houston 21.
I've got Jacksonville 28, Houston 24, so we're kind of close. I am a bit of a Jacksonville apologist. I think that's safe to say. But Blake Bortles, even with a slightly sore shoulder, I think is still going to do very well against this Houston defense. I mean, look what Matt Hasselbeck did to them last week. Matt Hasselbeck's a lot older than Blake Bortles is. I think I'm a little more optimistic on Arian Foster than you are. Both these defenses are just not good right now. They're both in the bottom third of the league. But overall, Jacksonville's offense a little healthier. If DeAndre Hopkins could play in the Chicago-Detroit game, that might actually be better for everybody. But unfortunately, this week he's going to play for the Texans still. Having Cecil Shorts come back I think will help a little bit, but quite frankly, DeAndre Hopkins really wasn't hurting to score points without having anybody else opposite him that was really all that relevant. So I'm still going Jacksonville by 4 points, not a ton, but this game I think will be more interesting to watch than a couple of the others. Kind of, I don't know. The game last week, Tampa Bay, wasn't pretty, but it was still interesting.
I think I'd rather watch this game than Detroit Chicago just because of Blake Bortles short. But and you know, Jacksonville with Robinson and Hurns at least has a couple of decent receivers. But I mean, Detroit certainly has a couple of decent receivers too. But they're, you know, the quarterback seems to be heading in the wrong direction. But we'll see. So next up is a game that, even though it features an undefeated team, I'm not sure I would have all that much interest in watching. Of course, Buffalo hasn't looked so far good so far on defense, but they've had a pretty rough schedule so far. It doesn't get any easier with Cincinnati's offense coming to town. Buffalo, like you said before, they may get Sammy Watkins back, but you know, between the quarterback being banged up and the running backs being banged up and Cincinnati seemingly finding a way to win every week, I think those both those trends continue this week. So I'll go with Cincinnati by 6. I'll say Cincinnati 30, Buffalo 24.
I've got Cincinnati 28, Buffalo 17. I think I would have been more excited about this game maybe week 2, week 1, before all these injuries started piling up. Because this Buffalo team, to start the season, I was excited about Cincinnati. Obviously, the Jinja Ninja and I, big fans. But it just it doesn't seem like a fair fight. Buffalo's so decimated by injuries right now. And even the guys who are still on the field aren't even close to 100% at a lot of these positions. The defense is going to keep them in it, but it's not going to be enough. Cincinnati is just going to kind of have their way with Buffalo this week. I'd be interested to see these two teams play each other when they're both healthy. That would be a much better matchup.
All right. Speaking of teams being relatively healthy, actually, with DeSean Jackson, I don't know that you can say that so much. And you mentioned Matt Jones' injury, too, but anyway, Washington on the road against the Jets. Jets, you know, defense is, you know, their calling card. They didn't look too good in their last home game against the Eagles. You know, this week they've got another NFC East team, Washington, coming in. I just think the Jets' defense is going to be – I think both the defenses are pretty good. Washington doesn't get as much credit as the Jets, obviously, but I think – Washington's defense will keep this close. The combination of Washington's defense and New York's offense just not being very good. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick will do just enough, and I'll say the Jets take this by a touchdown. Jets 24, Redskins 17.
We're still agreeing on a shocking number of games this week. I'm also taking the Jets. I'm taking them 20-14 over Washington, mainly because every facet of Washington's offense right now is kind of a giant question mark. Their run game beat up, not totally sold on how that's going to play out as the season goes on. The wide receivers aren't healthy. The tight end situation, again, not a lot of health. The quarterback, that's been an ongoing saga. It's just, even coupled with their defense, which isn't great, it's not terrible, but it's not great. I just think the Jets' defense is going to keep them in this game, and they'll be able to do just enough. Being at home maybe helps a little bit, but quite frankly, in New York, not really. I just think it's going to be just enough, and Washington's going to go home a loser this one.
At least Jameson Crowder has been a nice fantasy revelation the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll probably mention his name when we get to the daily part of the show.
Probably.
All right. So moving right along then, next game featuring two of my favorite teams that don't have – don't have New York in their title, and that would be Kansas City at Minnesota. This matchup obviously would have featured two of the top running backs in the league before Jamaal Charles went down last week. You know, whether it's, you know, Charkhandrick, I can't say that right, Charkhandrick West. You know,
yeah, it's kind of a mouthful.
Whether it's him or Nile Davis, I don't think it matters too much. I think Minnesota, even with the wide receiver situation not being so great right now, I still think that they're a better team all around. I'll say Minnesota takes this by a score of 30-21.
Interesting. I've got Minnesota 24-17. I don't see this being quite as high scoring, although I could see how that would happen. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. But Minnesota against Kansas City, weirdly enough, Kansas City generally it's the pass game, it's wide receivers that are their downfall with that defense, but I think it's more going to be Adrian Peterson that's the difference maker for Minnesota, because quite frankly, I'm not sold on Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not sold on his chemistry with his wide receivers right now, and I think it's going to have to be Adrian Peterson and the Blair Walsh project that are going to carry the Vikings to victory here, but I don't know. Kansas City's so up and down. I just don't think this is their week. I don't like the matchup a ton. And obviously, without Jamaal Charles, they sort of have to find their identity again. And we need to see which of these two running backs are going to emerge and be, you know, the replacement, if you will. Because right now, it's kind of a crapshoot.
You'll be more of a Teddy Bridgewater fan by the time February gets here, but we'll see what happens.
When it comes
there,
to Super Bowl season.
Exactly.
Good grief.
You watch out.
Yeah.
They're sneaking up on people. That defense is better than you think.
I got nothing for that. They're not sneaking up on anybody.
Their offense still has half a season to improve, so we'll see. And next
I
want to
watch games the way you do, because clearly we're not doing the same thing here.
It's okay. We'll make things interesting. All right. So next up, this game I'm guessing we're going to disagree on too. Pittsburgh hosting Arizona. Arizona, for the most part, has looked pretty good. 2 weeks ago, not so good, but for the most part, they've looked pretty strong. They're on the road against Pittsburgh. It's an early game, or as you like to call them, morning games.
Yeah.
Mike Vick, whatever you want to call him, he was a little bit better this past week, but I still think that Le'Veon Bell is really the key to that offense at this point. You know, Michael Vick, they're just asking him to be a game manager for the most part. You know, they let him air it out a little bit, but certainly not as their offense isn't as wide open as it will be when Ben Roethlisberger's there. So I think they find a way to beat Arizona. Arizona, at least in theory, looks like they're the better team, but I think when it comes down to it, Pittsburgh, take away a lot of confidence from that victory in San Diego Sunday night. Arizona traveling to the East time zone, it isn't quite the bugaboo for them that it used to be, but I still think Pittsburgh takes this in a minor upset. I'll say Pittsburgh 28, Arizona 27.
You're right. We are not agreeing on this one. I think Arizona's going to win this 34-27. Yeah, Michael Vick is a game manager. I think they need to get Le'Veon Bell a little bit more attention than they are right now if they want to have a chance at winning this game. But the Steelers are on a short week. They're still a little banged up. Obviously, they don't have Big Ben there. I just don't know if they have enough to overcome this Cardinal offense. They're going to just pass all day on this defense. The defense is not the steel curtain that it used to be. Yes, it's better than it looked in weeks 1 and 2, but I just don't think they're going to be able to slow down all of the different weapons that the Cardinals have. Carson Palmer has been very dialed in, and obviously he knows this Pittsburgh team. He's seen them a few times in the past, but they just have wide receiver, their run game. They can go at them at pretty much any way on this offense, and they're going to be successful, and I just don't think that Pittsburgh's going to be able to score enough points to kind of overmatch what Carson Palmer and the Arizona offense is going to be able to do. Prove me wrong, Michael Vick, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Speaking of the Arizona offense, in your opinion, who's going to be their leading rusher at the end of the season?
It might be Chris Johnson. I don't know. You got to go with the hot hand right now, I guess. I don't really
David
think
Johnson.
He's going to be CJ2K, but if he stays healthy, he's got a chance.
All right, we'll see. I mean, David Johnson's there. Andre Ellington is back. But you're right. Right now, Chris Johnson is definitely getting the majority of the touches there. But we'll see if that continues or not. Next up, we have another game between another of the also-ran bowl. Tennessee hosting. I thought they were going to beat Buffalo at home last week. Didn't happen. Get another chance against another AFC East team this week in Miami. Miami, they had the bye last week, new coach, the whole thing, but I don't think it's going to go well for them. I think Tennessee gets their act together a little bit this week. I'll take them by 6. I'll say Tennessee 27, Miami 21.
I think this is probably one you saw me disagreeing on. Yes, I am definitely a Miami apologist. I like to think that this, you know, has the potential to be an upset. I'm taking Miami 27-24 over Tennessee. I'm thinking a bye week, a new coach, hopefully new life for Miami. I want to see Ryan Tannehill kind of live up to the expectations that we had for him, or at least I definitely did coming into this season. Jarvis Landry, I think Tannehill and Landry could have a really nice run together if they can get on the same page and this offense can actually utilize all its weapons. So that's what I'm hoping for out of this week. Tennessee is liable to give up points. And granted, Marcus Mariota, I like what he's doing. Tight ends are getting a little healthier. That helps. But overall, I just don't think that Tennessee has enough this week. I'm going to take Miami with a new outlook on life, taking it by a field goal. Maybe that's wishful thinking.
Well, at least hopefully the practice squad will go easy on Ryan Tannehill this week, that he doesn't get upset.
If not, he'll be very ready for the Tennessee defense.
All right, we'll next up we've got another game, Carolina at Seattle, which features an undefeated team. But if you had said at the beginning of the season, one of these two teams would be undefeated going into week 6, you probably would have put money on Seattle rather than Carolina. But it's Carolina that's undefeated so far. I think that comes to an abrupt end this week. I think Seattle has their problems, especially on offense. Defense might not be quite as good yet as it's been in the past, but it's still pretty darn good, and I think that's enough to carry them to victory this week. I'll go with Seattle by a field goal, Seattle 24, Carolina 21.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Seattle's going to win this game. I have them 21-17, so again, still by a field goal. It's going to be a close game. I'm giving Seattle the edge. They're at home. Marshawn Lynch, if he plays, that'll be great, but either way, I think they can edge out Carolina, who just doesn't have quite enough to overcome the Seattle. Even their defense isn't what it used to be. I think they're still going to be able to slow them down enough. Plus, coming to the West Coast, it's just not going to be a good matchup overall for Carolina. So I see their undefeated streak ending this week.
So if Thomas Rawls were still out there in the waiver wire in your league, would you pick him up this week, or would you just assume that, Marshawn Lynch is going to be healthy again in the next week or two and that he'll get the majority of the carries and therefore leave Rawls for someone else?
I might pick him up just because even if Marshawn Lynch gets healthy in the next week or two, I don't know if I'm banking on him staying healthy all season just because he's had a lot of different, hips, legs, back, knees, the whole nine. It seems like it's kind of a chronic thing, and he's maybe there's something bigger happening. I don't know. I just think that there's a chance that this may not be the end of his injuries for the year.
Plus, his mom doesn't like the play calling.
I don't know. I might get a nasty letter from her. Who knows?
Yeah.
Better check my mail this week.
Yeah, or have the mail postal equivalent of the food taster go get your mail this week.
Yeah, I should probably look into that.
All right, yeah, just make them hold your mail this week. And that'll probably solve
good
the
plan,
problem.
Good plan.
All right, next up we've got Baltimore at San Francisco. Baltimore, disappointing loss last week. San Francisco, disappointing loss last week. Good news here is that they both won't have disappointing losses this week. I think San Francisco will have another disappointing loss, though. I think Baltimore gets their act together just enough to win this. As you mentioned, Steve Smith might be back. Even if he is, Kamar Aiken is emerging as a reasonable alternative in that offense. Justin Tucker, arguably the best kicker in football right now. I think it all adds up to a Baltimore victory. I'll say Baltimore by field goal. Baltimore 30. San Francisco 27.
I keep going back and forth on this game because I realistically can make a case for either one of these teams to win. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a field goal game. But honestly, depending on the day, kind of go back and forth. I want to pick Baltimore, but I'm going San Francisco this week, at least for right now. I'm concerned about the Baltimore run game. Being on the road, going out west, obviously when they did it before they lost to Oakland, that didn't go great for them. I'm worried that it could be much of the same again this week in San Francisco, and plus not having any healthy running backs that you can count on, going to be a bit of an issue. Even if Steve Smith plays and tries to give that offense a boost, he's clearly not 100%. This could be a tough week for Baltimore.
Kyle Juszczyk is still healthy.
True. So, I mean, they've got that going for them.
And he scores a touchdown once in a while. Actually, more than once in a while, but...
Every so often.
Yeah, I wouldn't run out and pick him up off the waiver wire, though. I just like
that
him
might
because
be a little
he's a fellow...
Just a bit.
He's a Harvard alum, so I got to root for him. But, so, anyway, another game up... It should be pretty interesting. I'm guessing you're going to want to watch this. San Diego,
yes.
Phillip Rivers, somewhat resurgent this season. Should have had a win this past Monday night, but the defense couldn't hold on. Green Bay, another one of the undefeated teams, looks good so far. Their defense is actually, I won't say been carrying them, but you know their defense has been a surprising strength for them this year. I think this turns out to be a pretty easy win for Green Bay. I'll take them by 10 at home. I'll say Green Bay 34 in spite of their banged up wide receivers and San Diego 24.
I've actually got almost the same score. I've got Green Bay 34, San Diego 27. I think that not only even having their wide receivers banged up, I think they'll still make some noise here. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers threw a pick last week. I mean, so it's going to be a little while if he does that again, most likely. But the Chargers are one of the worst defenses against the run, so while Eddie Lacy was, to put it nicely, not living up to standards last week, I think this week he bounces back, and I think he's going to be a much bigger part of their scoring and their overall offense, and that makes him a better option in your fantasy lineup and your daily fantasy lineup. But I think Green Bay is just going to be able to overpower San Diego. They're not going to look like they did last week.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Next up, we've got a interesting matchup between the quarterback who's been a star forever versus a quarterback who's just becoming a star now, and that's Tom Brady against Andrew Luck. But
yeah.
I think New England just has too much. You know, they're a better rounded team than Indy, and I'll just give the game to them by a field goal. I'll say New England takes this 31, Indy 28, and that's only because I have a lot of faith in Andrew Luck to get the offense going even against New England's defense. But yeah, it should be an interesting game. It definitely, you know, you can tell there's a reason.
Ooh, bold
the
move there,
game,
sir.
What, take New England over Indy?
No, I mean, just to think Andrew Luck's going to be as big as he is in this. But I don't know. I would like to see him come back and you know, look better, look healthier, maybe not throw so many interceptions. But I've got New England 37, Indy 24. Just this whole revenge, Deflategate. Honestly, it seems like kind of a non-factor. Like, the whole Deflategate thing is just so played out. Like, it's annoying. I would like this week to be over so we can stop talking about it again. The newest big story now is that Bill Belichick doesn't do his own grocery shopping. I'm not really sure who thought he really was, but New England's going to take this pretty handily, and at this point it's going to become, all right, so how long are the starters going to still be effective? Is it going to be more of a run-based game at the second half? And kind of picking and choosing your poison that way for fantasy points.
Yeah, I haven't seen Bill Belichick at the grocery store lately, but that might just have something to
Brandon,
do with that.
Brandon, I haven't been looking either, so.
Yeah, the fact that we live in different states from him might have something to do with it, but maybe not. He travels a lot, so
yeah.
You would think sooner or later we'd run into him in the grocery store. But
right?
So finally that leaves us with the Monday night game. My beloved Giants are going down the turnpike to take on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just much as I want to pick the Giants in this game, I just can't. I think Philadelphia, the whole narrative about Chip Kelly being out of control and losing control of the team and the team tuning him out, I think that's, you know, just way overblown. If someone like Bill Billick says so, I don't believe it. I think Philadelphia is going to win this, unfortunately, rather easily. I think the Giants' lack of healthy wide receivers is really going to catch up to them in this game. I mean, it might be Jeremy Davis, who's their only healthy wide receiver this week, although Dwayne Harris has had a good couple-week run there. But I think it all adds up to a relatively easy win for Philadelphia. I'll actually go out on a limb and take them by 2 touchdowns. I'll say Philadelphia 31, Giants 17.
Ooh, wow. So are we trying to, like, spark a Giants win by not picking them? Is that the theory here?
No, not so much. It's more that, you know, they've been doing it with smoke and mirrors for the most part. You know, yes, they're 3-2, and yes, they could easily be 5-0, but they could also pretty easily be 1-4. So I think they're about where they ought to be, and it's only a testament to how weak the rest of the NFC East has been so far that they're actually in first place. I mean, if you put them up against any of the 5-0 or 4-0 teams, I think they come out second best.
Back to the old NFC least. I do think the Eagles are probably going to win this game as well. I think they do it by a more conservative 7 points. Yes, a lot of what the Giants have done is through smoke and mirrors. Granted, Philadelphia is not even close to having their act together. I think DeMarco Murray is going to be a little bit more of the factor. I mean, maybe he'll hit 100 yards this week. Who knows? I just think that it's more going to be the Sam Bradford, Jordan Matthews show. The Giants are atrocious against tight ends, so it's possible that Zach Ertz may come back from the dead this week. If you're looking for some cheaper tight end options or somebody that may be on your waiver wire, if people got crazy and dropped him, it might not be a bad week to pick him up. But overall, they're going to put points up. Neither of these defenses are going to slow down these offenses tremendously, so at least it'll be exciting in that regard. We aren't going to get like a 9-7 game. But I think that Philadelphia is going to keep control of this for the most part.
All right, there you have it. I think we only disagreed on 3 or 4 games this week, so it's not quite the perfect record we had last week of matching up, but still it's more matches than not. So I guess we're getting soft in our relative old ages then.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's
somehow we'll find something to disagree on, though, I'm sure.
Oh, daily fantasy is always a good place to look for disagreements, so why don't we go there? So, first up, FanDuel, which quarterbacks have caught your eye this week?
Well, I'm going to take a couple more risks this week. Obviously, the top of my list, as it is every week, is Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, he's going to set you back $8,000, but it's worth it. Andy Dalton as well at 7,600, still not really priced where he should be. He's more valuable than that. He's putting up more points, so I'll take that. Sam Bradford at 7,700 is going to have a big week. Tom Brady, if you're going to pay for it, that's the guy to go for. At $9,000, he's costly. You're going to have to make some cuts in your lineup elsewhere, but point-wise, you know they're going to be there. Ryan Tannehill at 7,700, maybe even Colin Kaepernick this week at 7,300. I kind of taking a flyer on that one, but those are my guys there, I think.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of them, you know, just, you know, Peyton Manning strikes me as being overpriced at 8,100.
Yeah.
If you're putting him up in Andrew Luck, you know, territory, you know, Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, Russell Wilson, I think so far, you know, he's definitely not, you know, playing up to the same level as the other ones, but we'll see. I mean, I could argue, you know, and not just argue, but so far, you know, Eli is averaging 6 points more per game this season than Peyton is, and yet Peyton still costs $300 more than Eli does.
Yeah. It's weird. The pricing doesn't always catch up with everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with you on Bradford. Blake Bortles, if he's healthy, Alex Smith, maybe just without a running game, he has to throw a bit more. That could be interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick at 6,900 looks like a good play to me. And Matthew Stafford, how the mighty have fallen, at 6,900 looks like a decent play. Brian Hoyer at 6,700, maybe even Teddy Bridgewater at 6,600. So I'm not gonna pick everybody. Don't worry. But there's some good options out there.
Sure.
If you don't want to spend a lot of money this week. Not many, but a few at least. But see how that goes. Aaron Rodgers, even at 9,300, yes, the most expensive quarterback on the board and $300 more than Brady, but I actually like his matchup a little bit better, just in terms of the relative strength of the defenses in San Diego and Indy. So we'll see what happens there. How about FanDuel running backs? What caught your eye there?
As we talked about earlier, Charkandrick West. I'm going to get this by the end of the show. I got to read the first time. Now I can't do it anymore. He's at 6,200. Is kind of a guy you're going to take a flyer on. It's going to be feast or famine with him, but hey, isn't that the fun of it? Chris Ivory at 7,300. Deion Lewis, I'm taking at 7,200. Some people are making the case for LeGarrette Blount. I'm taking him over Blount, even though he's getting fewer touches, but he's getting more meaningful ones. You see him more in the red zone at the goal line, more of these scoring plays. I mean, they're priced similarly. I'm going Deion Lewis. I think there's going to be garbage time. They're going to run the ball late in that game. Matt Forte at $8,400. Yes, he's costly, but quite frankly, he's their only hope of scoring points. Chris Johnson at $7,200 are the guys I'm looking a lot at. And every week, T.J. Yeldon. I'm always going T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah, at $6,800, he's definitely a good price. Eddie Lacy, as you mentioned before, good matchup this week. He's $7,300. That's tempting. DeMarco Murray at $7,600. Not so sure I would do that.
So scary.
Yeah, I'd rather spend the extra $800 and go with Matt Forte at $8,400. I don't think I would be ponying up for Arian Foster at $8,500. You know, if you're going to spend
yet.
A lot,
I think his price hasn't come down to where he is just yet.
So Le'Veon Bell, 9,000, Adrian Peterson, 8,900. If you're really going to go out and spend a lot of money, might as well go for the best. But, I would probably tend to do what you're suggesting and stick with either Yeldon, assuming his groin is healthy, or maybe even somebody like Giovanni Bernard if you need a less expensive option. So how about FanDuel wide receivers? Who has your eye there?
I like Jarvis Landry a lot. Obviously, I'm a little higher on the Dolphins than most people are. He's at 7,300. A.J. Green at 8,100. Granted, he is going to cost you a lot, but he's still kind of a bargain compared to what the other top wide receivers are priced at and what you're going to get production-wise out of him. Julian Edelman, who's been so solid at 7,900, there's going to be points for him and everybody else on that offense this week. DeAndre Hopkins, 8,500. Again, like I said, A.J. Green's a value. DeAndre Hopkins, you just know, is going to score points. This Jacksonville defense is going to give them up. And he pretty much has just run through everybody who's been matched up against him the last few weeks. Maybe take a flyer on Cecil Shorts at 5,000 if you're looking for a little bit more of a risk, but you got to save some money somewhere. And Jordan Matthews at 6,600. We talked about that Eagles game earlier. So those are the guys I'm looking at.
Yeah, the Jordan Matthews, I definitely agree on that one. Allen Robertson, Robinson at 6,700. That looks good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Keenan Allen having a pretty good season so far. I like Edelman. So, I'm not so sure I would really go with one of the top most expensive guys this week, unless I happen to save some money at quarterback or running back or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, Calvin Johnson at 8,200, that seems a little bit rich for me, given the quarterback struggles they've been having, although I think they will get it together this week. I don't know, wide receiver, there's just so many options out there. It's kind of hard to just settle on one and run with it, but that's what we've got to do. So.
Yeah, they do want us to do that, believe it or not.
just say, oh, I'll take the field. See how far that gets you. So
how about
tight end Rob Gronkowski? Yeah, $2,000 more than everybody else, but he's also scoring a lot more than everybody else. And Antonio Gates at $5,500, he had a monster week coming back, and I don't think anybody expects him to do that against Green Bay, but do you think at $5,500 he's still a relatively good value, or is he overpriced this week?
I think maybe it's a hair overpriced, but it's close enough that I can live with it. Tight end wise, I mean, Zach Ertz, I've not been a fan of what's happening to the Eagles tight ends of late this season. Zach Ertz, if he's going to have a breakout game, I think this is going to be it. Julius Thomas at 5,200 is going to be great. Antonio Gates, it's just going to get better, I hope. So we'll see what happens there. Tyler Eifert at $6,000. I mean, he's just pretty steady. Larry Donnell at 5,300, and that's strictly because, granted, the Eagles are better than the Giants at stopping tight ends, but there's still points that are going to be had, and Eli Manning's got to connect with somebody, especially with Odell Beckham Jr. maybe being a little slower than usual. Larry Donnell might be a good play.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And just the other guy that caught my eye is Gary Barnidge, who's been having quite the season so far for Cleveland. Yes, he's going up against Denver's defense, but you know, he's only scoring about a point a game less than Tyler Eifert so far this year, although Eifert, you know, had that one goose egg of a game. But
yeah,
Barnidge been pretty steady this year, and he's only $300 less at $5,700. So that, he looks like a good play to me, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I love the matchup for him this week. I think that maybe the last 2 weeks are better than you're going to get out of him this week, but it's not, I mean, there are much worse options, for sure.
Yeah. So, kicker, defense, just pick one. I don't know that we need to spend time talking about that unless you have somebody you feel really strongly about and want to mention.
Yeah, not really. Kicker-wise, I think Blair Walsh will have a good game, 4,600. Matt Prater at 4,500. Steven Gostkowski is kind of a no-brainer. He's the most expensive kicker at 5,100. Cairo Santos might be nice. I don't think he's going to score you 27 points, but at 4,800, he's not a bad value. Defense, Detroit, the Jets, Denver, Carolina. Everyone's pretty well bunched together. It's hard to pick wrong. There are ones you can pick better, but the defense,
I don't know that I'd be there's a few teams that I might stay away from this week. I'm not so sold on the Giants defense for one, but we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully they'll prove me wrong. So how about over to DraftKings then? What quarterbacks look good to you price-wise?
Price-wise, I like a lot of the same quarterbacks. One that sticks out for me more on DraftKings than FanDuel is Blake Bortles. He's only priced at $5,200. The matchup, I think, really works in his favor. Most of their
even less than even, Teddy Bridgewater.
I know, and I think he's going to score significantly more points than old Teddy Bridgewater will. So I like Blake Bortles, especially above some of the other names this week, value-wise, on DraftKings. What about you?
Well, the one thing that just strikes me, I mean, I really like Marcus Mariota a lot, but there's no way he should be more expensive than Andy Dalton, you think?
Nope. And it's one of those weird things where, like, his value jumped up after week one and then just never really got back down to earth when he did.
Yeah. Eli Manning actually cost more than Peyton this week, which is pretty unusual. I'm guessing that hasn't happened in quite a while, but, you know, Carson Palmer.
Is there a full moon coming?
Peyton. Yeah, it must be. The one thing I don't like so much about DraftKings, and you could argue that it shows whether you're a real fan or not, but they don't publish the injury status as clearly, at least not in their CSV file, as distracting as FanDuel does. So, yeah, I give them a demerit for that. But their games are still fun. So, especially with no kicker and getting that extra wide receiver or running back or tight end to throw in a flex position, I think makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Kickers are just so random.
Who saw Cairo Santos coming? I mean, really?
Not I, said the pig. So, all right. How about running backs? Who catches your eye there for the DraftKings game?
Again, Chartrandrick West got it on the first try. He's going to be good value everywhere this week until next week. Deion Lewis at 5,800 is also a good value for me. Again, I like him better than Blunt. Plenty of people in the world would disagree with me. But those are two for me that stick out beyond the guys I already liked on FanDuel.
All right. I mean, the one thing I just don't understand so well is how is Jeremy Hill over $1,000 more than Giovanni Bernard at this point? That makes no sense to me.
Not so much, yeah. I feel like you just wander around your house sometimes just muttering about the injustice of the pricing.
Well, not so much muttering about it, but just trying to figure out whether I can take advantage of it or not. But I don't know that one site or the other has better pricing, but you know, mm-hmm. I guess depending on how you see that week's slate of games, you're always going to find some opportunities for arbitrage. You know, Chris Ivory at 5,100, that looks good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, even Eddie Lacy at 6,300, as you alluded to before, this should be a big game for him. And another thing, I mean, here's DraftKings, and I'm guessing they probably do the prices for the most part Monday or Tuesday morning, but you know, it's still got Jamaal Charles, he's the second most expensive back in their game this week, and even though he's out for the year, I guess they just figure it's kind of Darwinian that if you're still picking Jamaal Charles, that you deserve to get beaten. But in a DraftKings game, I think that kind of discourages the casual fan. Although you can argue that if you didn't know that Jamaal Charles was injured last weekend, that you're probably not even a casual fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true.
All right. Thomas Rawls, 4,800. That's interesting. I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver, who catches your eye there?
This feels weird to say, but Calvin Johnson. I know it's been a rough year for him. Last week looked terrible for the Lions, but it's 7,300 for the upside that's there and the matchup. I think this is the week he gets in the end zone, so I might be thinking about taking a flyer on him there.
I'll nominate Jeremy Maclin. He's had a couple of big weeks, but at $6,500, he's significantly less expensive than some of the other guys, you know, who are, number one option for their team. And I think Alex Smith, just out of necessity, will probably throw five more times this week at least than he usually does. So I think Maclin and Travis Kelce will probably be the biggest beneficiaries there.
I think so. I hope so, at least. My lineups hope so.
What about tight ends for you? Yeah, we're getting a little bit down to the wire here. So tight end-wise, Gary Barnage, $4,400. I'll take him as my top pick this week.
I don't love the matchup. I'm a little down on Barnage this week, but Kyle Rudolph's not a bad play. I like Jordan Cameron, believe it or not, out of Miami, $3,000. Great place to save some money. This is what Charles Clay used to do for your lineup before everyone else discovered him. Could be interesting this week. Obviously, their new head coach used to coach the tight end, so he's a little biased towards them. That's what I'm banking on. But overall, that's my thoughts on tight ends.
All right. Any defenses that jump out at you?
No, not really too different other than FanDuel price-wise for me. What about you?
I like the Eagles at 2,900, like the Jets at 3,100. Those are probably my the top two that caught my eye so far.
All right, fair enough. That does bring us right up to the end of the show here. We'll be back with you guys next week from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week. We'll bring you all the news and notes and analysis for all of the Week 7 games, matchups, all your good fantasy knowledge, and your daily fantasy lineups. Any questions you have for us, find us all week long on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at the number 4THNinches Show at gmail.com. You can find us at the Fantasy Football fan page, Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page on Facebook at fantasyfootballsherpa.com, and on our personal Twitter accounts as well at fantasy_Sherpa and JKIM16. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and good luck this week, unless you're playing me.